Morning, my name is Amy Kane, I'm also a member of the committee.
Good morning, I am Ndumiso Lancelot Thapa, member of the committee. Ndumiso is on 18.
Morning, I'm Potongani, member of the committee.
Good morning, honorable members, this is Momo Wetu Kaima, from Eastern Cape, and the chairperson of the portfolio committee on agriculture, rural development and land reform, Yabonga. Yabongisa.
Good morning, my name is Tishwe Kuna, I'm the member of the committee on agriculture, and how the presentation is.
Morning, my name is Nasia, I'm also from Harbin Village Legislature on the committee for agriculture, economic development, rural development and environment. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Indra Kruger. I'm an additional member on this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. My name is Joanna Mulemanuleke from the Board Legislature. I'm the chairperson of Tourism, Rural Environment and Agricultural Development.
Thank you. Former MP, former week of the candidates, welcome. Can we go to this side, start to see us? Introduce yourself and
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Annelies Crosby and I'm from AgriSA.
I'm from AFASA.
Thank you. Honorable Chair, honorable members, I'm Mukutule Johobobe from the Department of Agriculture, the Forestry and Fisheries, responsible for policy planning, monitoring, and evaluation.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. My name is Mokisa Ramaswamy from the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, representing the authority of the DG of the department who's having engagements in India regarding BRICS. And
honorable members, my name is Bafe Dilobo Bafe, from the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, the Office of the Director General.
Good morning, Chair, Chairperson, and the members of the House. My name is Devan Tova. I am here representing Totatao Wabushin, the communities of the country. He's the Deputy Director General for Forestry and Natural Resources Management, and I'm here on his behalf. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Dr. Kuchi, responsible for monitoring and evaluation function within DAS.
My name is Ibrahim Khadati from Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, responsible for climate change and development.
Morning, Chairperson, honorable members. I'm Renee Thompson, environmental and economic officer from the Ministry of Wildlife. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm board member Tanisha Stephen from the department.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Unala Chela Siti. I'm from the Parliamentary Management Group.
Good morning. I'm Inga Ntonga. I'm part of three groups here today. The Bureau for Food and Agricultural Policy, also the Regional Network for Agricultural Policy Research Groups, and then also Democratic Alliance.
Good morning, I'm Alice Dean from the Green Force.
a visitor from the Department of Agriculture and Management.
Okay. Can I have a visit from Olivia? Okay, so.
We can read the Saigon Grand Nation.
Okay. Thank you.
we have the right to invite any stakeholders in the country. So we will call out the matter with the leadership of Parliament to deal with that matter. So the ARC has been invited, probably to be joining us. We remember that, or members will recall that the Minister of Finance in his speech has indicated or has announced the 1 billion bailout from government for drought. And as we're interacting with the stakeholders, they've indicated that the money might not be enough for the intervention of the drought at that time. But we were fortunate as a country because we had some rain. That's why we called the weather services just to come and tell us what the situation has been. Because we were told that we might experience La Nina, which means that we might have more floods in the country. And the question would then be, how ready are we as the sector to mitigate those challenges that would be coming with that challenge? And for these 2 days, we'll be receiving presentation from various stakeholders just to understand what they are readiness in terms of planting systems, and get the presentation from the provincial department. That's why we've invited the provincial portfolio committees and the national department, just to present to the committee their readiness in terms of availing the resources for the, particularly the previously disadvantaged groups and water, and we've invited land banks for those that have been established, and whether they going to assist them because we need to make sure that the food on the table at the end of the day is, and if people go hungry in this country, they'll be looking at us as a sector to say that what are these people doing if today we don't have food on the table. So we'll call this meeting to come and interact and assist one another in terms of what should be done and what are the good times for planting, because we know that usually provincial governments, as we're doing oversight, particularly in some of the provinces, Limpopo in particular, find that the assistance from government come at a late stage, and you find that the assistance does not actually assist or achieve the intended objective. So we've called this meeting as a portfolio committee to come and all of us look at how best we can coordinate our work so that our work can make meaningful towards food security in the country and address the challenges that are faced by communities, particularly the farmers, because our understanding, we are meeting here in the interest of the farmers, or the people who must produce food.
comes and then the person apologizes, you can't call that person, you can't do anything. I think this has to have savings. That's more or less.
Thank you, Chair. I propose that on the part of the Minister, we accept that it is genuine, especially when it's the sufficient indication that he had come for the meeting and the speech he has made that he must have come. That's necessary. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think the concern of members is not changed. Convey to the minister when we meet, will continuously indicate that Tuesdays are cultural day. You know, we'll only accept the apologies for Wednesday because we're doing cabinet day. But as was indicated, we've not yet received the report, the formal apology from the minister. Probably to indicate whether indeed there was an agent to attend the work. So can we proceed, honourable members? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. Thank you for inviting us. I note that the image on the screen is a little bit hazy, so if you have difficulty reading that, there are handouts, please refer to that. By way of introduction, Chair, just a little bit of background. The turnover of South Africa, of the South African agricultural sector is around 227 billion rands per year, with a net tax contribution of around 50 billion in primary agriculture alone, taken over an average of 10 years. Furthermore, South African agriculture represents 2.5% of our economy, and if you add the value-adding factor, then it's around 20 to 25%. The sector employs more than 850,000 people and is ranked first in terms of food, the most food-secure country in Africa. Now, this is the worst drought conditions on record, and it has led to a decline in production of around 8.4% in 2015. AgriSA has called for emergency assistance from government in the form of either state guarantees or direct assistance to farmers through the structures of the land bank, agribusinesses, or special purpose vehicles. The BFAC report noted, amongst other things, that coming as it did after an already below average production season in 2015, the combination of the drought and the weaker exchange rate has impacted severely on agricultural commodity prices in South Africa. On that slide, you have an image of the percentage of normal rainfall for the season July 2015 to February 2016. I'm not going to say too much on maize because Grain SA is here, and I'm sure they will expand on it a bit. But the Crop Estimate Committee, that was published on 25th of February, showed that the area for summer crops to be planted decreased by some 26%. The maize area planted decreased by 27.1%, and the decline is more severe in the white maize areas. The second crop estimate revised production slightly downwards at 2.5% for maize, 5.7% for soybean, and 21.8% for sorghum. Sunflower, groundnuts, and dry beans crop estimates increased by 10.5%, 10.3%, and 25.4% respectively, as farmers moved from maize production to the production of these crops due to the planting window period being missed and the delayed rains. Secondly, just very briefly, the impact on livestock. The effect of the drought was also clear in grazing conditions, and the impact on extensive livestock industries that depend on grazing has been catastrophic. In terms of livestock, there has been a reduction of some 15% in our national herd. There's also been increased slaughtering during the drought, and this will continue to impact production for the next 3 to 4 years. So, Chair, whilst many people are thinking that we are getting rain now, that the crisis is over, it will definitely be with us for some time, even if we get proper rains this season. The reported impact on livestock states that 246631 small, medium and large farmers were severely affected. Then there's also been an impact on the cash flow of farmers. The drought has placed significant pressure on farm income and has affected the cash flow of our farmers negatively. This deficit had to be transferred to 2016, which has also been an even drier year thus far, and hence the cash flow position of farmers is expected to deteriorate even further. Recent increases in the repo rates by the Reserve Bank have also impacted negatively on the financial position and debt levels of our producers. Apart from the financial pressures related to decreased production in current drought conditions, and the impact of farm income, South African farmers are also faced with higher input costs compared to their counterparts in other countries. South Africa is a net importer of fertilizer and chemicals, or key components thereof, and the exchange value of the rand has pushed up these costs considerably. So the kind of support that is required by farmers is the following. First of all, they need soft loans to build their herds again. Secondly, emergency measures are required to provide water and food relief for farmer and farm worker communities. Thirdly, an interest rate subsidy is required on new production credit. The farmers also require an interest rate subsidy on carryover debt. We would like to see a farm worker salary support subsidy, a state guarantee scheme aimed at the outstanding debt, and humanitarian aid in the form of food parcels. And we have, as Organized Agriculture, on a regular basis communicated these needs to government. That's just an illustration of which of the commodities are worst affected. Those are the ones in red, including maize, wheat, groundnuts, beef, sheep, goats, poultry, vegetables, potatoes, and sugar. And then there are other commodities that were moderately affected, and a few, only a few, that have had minimal effects because of the drought. The current situation is that we've experienced extreme drought conditions which have still not dissipated. We know that 8 provinces have either fully or in part be declared as disaster areas. Grazing has deteriorated and a bleak picture is still prevalent for the winter season. Summer grain production has decreased significantly. Many commercial and emerging farmers face a serious financial predicament. There is no clarity on government-supported disaster measures. Agricultural employment is at risk, and employee-specific support is very much required. So we have tried to quantify the amount of money, Chairperson, that will be needed. and you will see the amounts reflected there, broken down in the various commodities. Some of them in grain and livestock industries first of all, then for the sugar industry, and then also looking at the state guarantee for farmers at around $1 billion. So that leaves us with an amount for 4 years of 513,202,645. The budgetary implications therefore, the various things that we're asking for is also reflected in that slide. The first one we've not yet been able to put a figure to, but the support for farm workers and the retention of farm workers, the interest subsidy on production, the one on carryover debt, the one on unpayable term and bond debt, and lastly on interest on loans for herd rebuilding, the amounts are all reflected there. Also the support for the retention of farm workers, the subsidy on loans, all the amounts have been calculated there. There's a slide, you probably know this one, on the current dam levels. I know the Minister of Kokta also referred to it the other day in his media briefing. The national level of dam seems to be around 54.9% at present, which is a real reason for concern. So the response from government thus far, according to the head of the National Disaster Management Center, the drought is being managed in terms of the Disaster Management Act. There is a joint drought committee that consists of all the relevant government departments and that has been set up and which is monitoring the implementation of the drought response and measures throughout the country. All sectors, departments, provinces and state institutions have had to reprioritize their funding in order to deal with the current drought, and about R1 billion has been made available through this reprioritization. According to that, the number of farmers assisted thus stands at 42,314, reported livestock losses around 186,340, 56 bore or boreholes have been drilled, 56 completed and 89 drilled, and 29 were drilled but are dry. Commercial farmers in all the drought-driven provinces have, however, reported no or very little support from government departments. And this is probably something that we need to discuss as organized agriculture with government, but that you can maybe also discuss at these hearings, because government is saying we are responding. The farmers are saying we're not really seeing the impact of this at grassroots level. So what has been the response from organized agriculture? AgriSA resolved in September 2015 that a task team should be established to focus on the drought and to communicate the impact of the drought to all the stakeholders. AgriSA and SenVet then established a drought relief fund and initiated an action plan for the fund in January 2016. And we've had a really good response from the public and from some sponsors for which we are very, very thankful. This fund is managed by the AgriSA office in Pretoria, but also through our provincial offices and local farmers associations. The objectives of the fund are the following: to purchase fodder for the livestock, to fund the transport of the fodder for the livestock, to fund the purchase and distribution of food hampers to destitute farm workers, to fund the distribution of water and the sinking of boreholes in areas with little or no water. AgriSA met on several occasions with senior DAF and Department of Rural Development staff to discuss greater cooperation between the state and organized agriculture in order to mitigate the impact of the drought. But this has not resulted thus far in any specific collaborative actions. So there are the figures of the assistance that has been provided by AgriSA. We've assisted some almost 15,000 commercial farmers, 4,000 emerging farmers, around 66,500 bales have been distributed, also 36,000 bags of feed pellets. We have assisted 9,000 farm workers with food hampers and bottled water, and there's also been assistance to a number of communities, and there are also figures there on the number of trucks used, the number of donors, the amount of water distributed, and we have managed to assist with 3 boreholes being sunk. And just by way of closing, Chairperson, a lot of this assistance has been going also to communal farmers. The latest outreach has been to the area of Mamre, which is quite close by to where we're meeting today. And there's a letter there from that community thanking AgriSA for the assistance to the Mamre community. What we do when we distribute this assistance is we also have the people sign for whatever assistance they are getting. So we keep records of everything that's distributed, and that's just an example of such a page with the names and signatures. And there are some pictures there, unfortunately not very clear on the screen, of feed being delivered to communities. By way of summary then, what we are asking for is we would like a comprehensive audit to be done on how national and provincial agricultural departments have assisted farmers. We ask that investigations be launched into how the state funding intended for the drought relief was spent. We ask Parliament to instruct the state departments to work with organised agriculture to provide drought relief to all farmers in South Africa, regardless of whether they are emerging or commercial. We want state support for emerging farmers. We believe that state support for emerging farmers only is unconstitutional and discriminatory. We can understand the focus on the emerging farmers, but the commercial farmers are taxpayers and they employ a lot of people and they are critical to our national food security. So we really do believe that they also needed to be assisted by the state. Crop insurance can act as a safeguard for farmers in the future and must cover some of the losses incurred by the drought. And then lastly, we ask government to subsidise crop insurance premiums to some extent. Thank you very much.
And honourable members, thank you very much for inviting us to come and talk to you and explain some of the situation that's out there for us. Just some content that I want to explain to you today is the drought process. So what happened, where did we go to, droughts and summary, and just a few things regarding the drought plan, and then just a few things in terms of farmer development as well. In terms of the process, it was long before it was planting season, we could have seen that there's a drought coming, and you could see that some of the initiatives that AgriSA just explained started already in early October, November days. So there was warning signs, there was El Ninos, and that meant that we were starting to act proactive to make sure that we get our producers through this season. Just to explain to you, and the chair mentioned that with the introduction, is in terms of optimal planting dates, on the eastern side of the N1, we're talking about the 15 October to the 15 of November, and that's normally for yellow maize purposes. we look on the western side of the N1, we're talking about the 15 November to 15 December, and that's for most predominantly white maize production. And that's the optimal planting dates. So what happened is, in a previous season, we didn't get to these optimal dates. We went far behind that optimal dates, and we went into high heating units, and that made it, we sit with a drought scenario, not great yields. And if you go to regions like Bultfontein, Central Free State, that's normally predominantly our production areas, they plant almost not even 20% in that specific region. So quite dramatic in terms of planting time. So what happened is, the industry maize forum had a special meeting in December 2016 to discuss the problems and to discuss the probability of what this drought's impact can be. And there were some scenarios, good, medium to bad, and unfortunately we ended up in the bad scenario. If we look at what happened after that, on the 15th of January, a second meeting was established, and at that meeting the Maize Forum asked the Crop Estimates Committee to do an early crop estimates report so that we can see what is the state and what is the real problem. So if we look at the process, what we did at Reynesa as well, we did evaluation trip from east to west to go and see the magnitude of the problem and to establish what one can do in terms of that magnitude. A portfolio update on the drought conditions was done the 19th of February to explain to the portfolio committee what's happening as well. And if you look at the 15th of January 2016, it started to rain. You can see it's a month after our optimal time in terms of production. So it started to rain, and the result was, because of all these discussions beforehand and because of all the preparations beforehand, we managed to plant 700,000 hectares in 10 days' time. Now, those of you that don't know, that's quite an achievement to do that. To give you the magnitude of that, that's 1.26 million seeds per minute that's planted. And that was because of good preparation and good planning beforehand. And that resulted that we were able to plant around about 2 million hectares. Not optimal conditions and not optimal yields given that. So proactiveness assisted to at least get some food security, and organized agriculture played a huge role in doing that. If we look at some of the other proactive stuff that has been done, conservation agriculture assisted with it, because the principles of that was in terms of moisture content and keeping moisture in your soils, and that certainly helped to push the plants through this tough season. Irrigation management, as was explained by AgriSA as well, we know dam levels is a problem, and we know there was in the latest government gazette, there was a reduction in terms of the Orange River system, in terms of restrictions. So what happened is farmers preempted this, and what they did is a lot of them didn't plant wheat, and they saved water to plant maize, to make sure that we've got ample maize when it comes from the next season. So part of that management ensure that we've got some food security looking forward. Just to give you a bit of explanation what happened this season, sort of I see the circle shifted. Looks like they wanted to be a little bit higher than what we wanted. To give you an indication, we ended, or the estimate of the season is at 7.2 million tons. If you look at normal production seasons, we're normally talking about more or less 12 million tons. So you can see it's quite a huge decrease in what we achieved. You can see the previous season, it was at 9.9 million tons. That was also a dry season, and that explains the magnitude of it. The result of this is that we needed to import a lot of maize into South Africa. So you can see white maize, we needed to import 1 million tons. And yellow maize, we needed to import 2 million tons. So that gives us a total of 3 million tons that we need to import to satisfy our demand in the country. And that results in a 45-day stop. Now, we're not at the end of the marketing season, we're still busy importing, and everyone's got a question, will we import enough white maize into the country? And I think that's a lot of people's concern currently is in terms of the imports. If we look at the imports, I put in a graph just to show to you where we stand with imports. Basically, what this graph is saying is, it says the percentage of import needs, meaning what we need to import, and how much of that we already import. And then the completed line is the 2015-16 season. So if you just look at the imports, you can see that we're progressing very well in terms of imports. And I think everyone must give some recognition to Dove and to the port people really assisting in the logistics and making sure that the imports is coming into the country. So in terms of imports, we're not that concerned that it's going to have problems. It's going to be tight supplies. It's going to be, especially February, March time, we're going to have tight supplies in terms of white maize. But there's enough stock worldwide to get into the country, and the imports are really rolling in. The biggest challenge is that we need information in terms of which ships are coming in and how many ships are coming in. That's it. We need that information so that the market can react on that. So definitely, it's important to get that right. The biggest dependence in terms of imports is going to be the quality. Are we going to import enough good quality? And that's going to be the determining factor. Yet again, I must really give recognition to the Department of Forestry and Fisheries, Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. They really monitoring the quality very closely in terms of the maize, because with this high inputs, we also got risks in terms of our diseases coming into the country, and we need to look in terms of a long-term perspective as well. So DAF is really playing a huge role in making sure that at least we're still food safe country as well. Another thing that's really going to assist in terms of this marketing here and the shortages is early deliveries of maize. Like mentioning earlier, we started in our production season already, and some of our regions, especially the eastern, northeastern parts of the country, received a bit of rain, and that is good prospects for some early deliveries. And what that means is we can close a bit of a supply tight gap with early deliveries. So we're looking forward that hopefully we can get a good crop of early deliveries. In terms of prices will still be high up till February, March due to the tight stock levels. But the good news is that we foreseen that in the next production season, we'll see a bit of relief in terms of prices on commodities, and that will give a bit of relief in terms of food prices. Just to explain to you what currently is happening, if we look at just the prices, you can see now currently we're trading our prices around about 4,000 rands a ton, far above import parity levels. And then if you go and see the lower right graph, that's for the new season, the July season, and there you can see we're already trading far lower at 2,700 tons. Now this already tells us something, that there is prospects of a good production season if it rains, and that's the big question. Since we're in agriculture, we know it must rain, and we must get that natural resource to produce. So hopefully, if the La Nina prevails, we will be able to plant again. But there is some concerns in terms of the planting. If we look at the drought plan, and AgriSA alluded on a lot of it. We as Grain SA was part of a large number of forums and a large number of calculations to explain the magnitude and to try to quantify the drought. We partnered with AgriSA and assisted AgriSA with a lot of information. And AgriSA formed part of the communication to government, so that not a lot of people bombard the government, but that we talk out of one voice to government and not cause confusion. And then there was a lot of, like AgriSA explained, a lot of private partnerships and initiatives that really came to assist the farmers in this. Then we were also part of the National Agricultural Marketing Council Section 7 Committee. It's a Section 7 Committee that was established especially for drought, and everyone in the industry provided a lot of information to the NAMC, and the NAMC by mid-October are going to present that also to the minister in terms of what happened and what we see needs to be done in the future to make sure that we still have food production in the country. As I mentioned in the presentation, what was in the draft plan when we were here early January, February, we suggested 1 billion in guarantees for small-scale farmers. That's really important. Currently our small-scale farmers are struggling. They don't have any collateral, they don't have any credit opportunities, and obviously with a drought, you don't have any cash flow as well. And that's really a huge concern for us, and I'm going to explain later a bit more about that. In terms of 1 billion in guarantees for commercial farmers, this is in terms of assistance, in terms of loan repayments, and to get through the National Credit Act, and to make sure that we plant in a new season. It won't help if we've got a good prospect, we've got good prospects of a La Nina coming, but we can't plant. So we need to assist the farmers so that they can plant themselves out of problems. And that's the only way we're going to get them out of it is when they produce themselves out of this problem. Then crop insurance was very important. If you go to parts like the Northwest province struggled for 5 years with droughts, and those farmers are literally, they don't have any reserves anymore, and they just can't take any risks anymore. And the crop insurance helped them assist in terms of managing that risk, and it helps them in terms of obtaining some finances as well. So that's very important as well. One concern for us is in terms of these guarantees, and I know this is a sore point in all political discussions currently, but if we look at the guarantees, we see that guarantees is going to SAA, but we're not giving guarantees for food. And that's really a concerning part for us, is that we need to look at our food. If we look at in terms of support, large amounts of support was given to livestock, and there's a tendency that the drought is over and that the drought is finished, and I can assure you that's not the case. It does not rain grass, so there's still a long way to go. The next thing is, in terms of if we look at the support, limited support was given to grain producers. And if you look at the drought, currently the farmers that's producing grains need support now. And our concern is that in terms of support, it's already too late. They need to do their repayments in August, September, so they need to do their repayments of their loans now. And then they need to apply for new loans for the new production season that's already starting. And there's very limited support in terms of that, and in terms of getting the farmers ready to plant. One significant one that was talked about was the 400 million rand loan from Land Bank. And this is, like I said, it's yet again a loan. So you go through all the credentials of obtaining a loan. So it's assisting farmers, but it's not really assisting the ones that's in huge troubles. Because if you're in huge trouble, you don't qualify for that. And if you look at it, you can see that only 180 million was taken up of that 400 million. And yet again, a concern is that small-scale farmers won't be able to obtain these loans because they don't have collateral. And that's really a great concern. Just to give you a bit of a quantum of the drought impact and what this is all about in terms of finances, this was done a study by Agvis, and it was also presented to the Section 7 Committee, and also AgriSA. The numbers that I presented you come from all this analysis as well. credit that was provided, 15,000 farmers received credit. The quantum of that we can see, 26 billion. Emerging farmers, 239 million. Now, the next one is where we start to get the concern is these are guys that won't be able, producers, that they won't be able to pay back their debt in full. They will be able to pay back some debt, but not in full. And that is, if you look at it, it's 1,255 farmers, and that gives us two billion in terms of the quantum of that. If you look at emerging farmers, we're talking about 96 farmers, and those are only the farmers that were able to obtain loans, so that's not your average emerging farmer, it's someone that's got a bit of collateral as well, and you can see the quantum of that is 24 million. Farmers that won't be able to pay back their debt and won't be able to qualify for new debt, so that means they won't be able to plant the new season, 339 farmers, we're talking about 618 million, 31 emerging farmers, and we're talking about 7.46 million. Now, I must explain to you as well as this is not from all the finances, it was just a small part of it, but it gives us an idea of the magnitude if we look at just the numbers and the percentages of the numbers. I would really suggest that you go and read the AgBiz report on this as well, and it's real of great concern that farmers are going to struggle to obtain finance, and we need to give them the opportunity to get that finance. Just in terms of the small-scale farmers, and a lot of people think that we're just talking about emerging farmers, and or not emerging, we're just talking about commercial farmers. But part of our business is a huge part emerging farmers as well. And unfortunately, drought is not someone that differentiates between a commercial farmer and an emerging farmer. All of them gets a hit in terms of a drought, and sometimes the emerging farmers are really hit hard in terms of the drought. So if we look at what we're talking about 5,000 subsistence farmers just in our program. We're talking about 3,200 plus. Part of our program, 1,800 farmers supported by the Jobs Fund. And the goal of them is to obtain a commercial yield. So not to get them to get them large amounts of hectares, but to get them to a commercial yield on what they have currently. Then we're talking about 1,100 smallholder farmers, 140 advanced farmers, and then 123 farmers that produce more than 250 tons. And the goal of them is to get them commercial farmers. So these are all the guys that's also affected in terms of this drought. And we could really see this year that they were really heartfelt that they couldn't produce because of a drought in terms of. The next thing is, this is also part of partnerships, and it's also part of public-private partnerships. So it's also not just hitting the farmers, but it's also hitting government investments. If we look at the recap, we have in the Free State 16 farmers, 46.3 million. We look at the REAP project, 84 farmers, 56 million. If we look at the Treasury, Treasury Jobs Fund, works on one rand that the organized agriculture puts in and one rand in terms of the Jobs Fund is put in. And there we're talking about 850 farmers. 2015, you can see how much it grew. 2016, it was 1,600 farmers. And the project is of such good success given the drought as well. prospects of a good season, but we need support for our farmers to get some finances. And as AgriSA alluded on it, is we need guarantees and we need crop insurance and we need subsidies on crop insurance to make sure that these farmers can get the finances and that these farmers can go and produce the maize that our country is needing. And with that, I want to thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you very much,
last night I was in the Eastern Cape from the farm
if we cannot get rain in the next 2 weeks, a lot of animals will really die. In response to drought, which is one of the key, because drought is nothing that we can do about it, it's not our making, but what is important from us is how we respond to drought. Farmers acknowledge with appreciation the assistance and effort already made by the government, though it is not enough. Well, it has never been enough, because I'm telling you, we're talking about 3 million smallholder farmers. And the government, besides that, the government doesn't have the capacity to reach all those 3 million smallholder farmers on the ground. They don't even have the resources to support those smallholder farmers. So there are two main key issues here. Is the resource to support the 3 million smallholder farmers, as well as the capacity to deliver whatever support to those 3 million smallholder farmers. The assistance was felt by very few farmers. In addition to animal feed, boreholes in the northwest, seed for fodder banks in the Eastern Cape, jojo tanks, and cleaning of dams in some parts of the country. Farmers, some have expressed satisfaction. The little resources available from government were poorly coordinated. Hence, many farmers are still complaining for lack of assistance, and some are happy. Madam Chair, this is really the biggest challenge that the smallholder farmers are complaining about in the Republic, the form of assisting them. You will find that there's a farmer who gets almost 2,000 bags, a full truck load of feed, and there's a farmer next door who doesn't get even one bag of feed. There's a farmer or two villages who have got to share one roll or one round bale for two villages, and there are farmers who are having a truckload of square bales. This is really the most critical area that we need when we do give the support and plan. We need to work around it. And also I want to emphasize, as much as we say the resources were not enough, but you must understand, if these resources were properly coordinated, these resources were coming from the local government. These resources were coming from the provincial government. These resources were coming from the National Department of Agriculture, Forests and Fisheries. There were also resources that were coming from rural development. If these resources could have been properly coordinated, they could make a significant impact. But because each and everyone doesn't talk to the next one, and it makes the whole thing not being fed by the farmers on the ground. Farmers are receiving conflicting, that is another problem currently. Farmers are receiving conflicting information in terms of early warning. Hence, difficult planning to plan for the next season. I mean, I was talking last night to the farmer in Mpumalanga. Some, they are saying there's La Nino coming. It means there's going to be more rain. But you hear the same people say, no. This drought is going to even go further and further. Now, you are not sure whether you must plan, you must prepare your land, because you don't know what's going to happen. I think the people who are really monitoring, they must give us a better estimate, good prediction, not what we are receiving currently. Madam Chair and members of the committee, these are the recommendations from the smallholder farmers of the Republic of South Africa. I think the farm worker salary subsidy is also one of the issues that we would really, it could take us better, because most of these people, besides that they have been struggling with outside the service, now that we do have the service, even far more. It's not that these people, they have got a lot of workers. 2-3 farm workers, very difficult to sustain them, especially that we have also have to stick to the minimum wage. Energy, bill, ECOM. Those farmers who have got ECOM in their farms or electricity, it's extremely difficult to sustain their farms in terms of operational costs, especially the energy bill from ECOM. If government can consider a form of subsidy on these issues, their production, subsidies. When we heard that there's about 400 million that treasurer that is giving land bank to assist farmers, we thought we are going to benefit. But as Greg SA just mentioned, we cannot even access that, even a cent of that money. Because land bank, as much as this money is to support people on drought, they are still using their own systems of credit policies. So it's still useless for us. These monies are not getting to us. We just read them from newspapers that there's a certain amount of money which has been given to land bank to support farmers, but we cannot access this money because we don't qualify in terms of their credit policies. Even if they can reduce the interest rate and so on, we still can't give them guarantees or security that should the drought persist, we'll be able to pay back the banks. Hence we say that government must also consider to write off any debt that the smallholder farmers are having. Writing off of debt is not something very new. If you go to the archives of the commercial farmers in this country, time and again, the old government has been writing off debt in billions from the commercial farmers. Now we can't understand why government cannot take a policy to say, let's write off any debt, especially those who have got debt from the government program, because most of these smallholder farmers, they rely on government programs like MAPISA and other programs. Government should write off this debt so that these people can have a relief. Making grazing available for farmers on government-owned unused farms. There are a lot of unused farms all over the country which belongs to the state, and we request government to avail these farms so that farmers can bring their animals during the times of drought. Farmers association or commodity organizations as service providers for drought relief. I'm sure you have seen the presentation from AgriSA, how they are trying to manage, how they are managing their drought program to the farmers. But we are also giving out the hands to the government that we are here to assist in order to ensure that there is no problem in giving this drought assistance to the farmers. Madam Sir, these last 3 points to us are very, very important. Because what I have been talking about, it was just a short-term leverage. But for a long term, we request the government to seriously consider the implementation of a subsidized index-based insurance scheme, which NEPO and APASA have been calling for the past 3 years, but we don't see any positive move towards this. If we can have this index-based insurance scheme, government won't spend such a lot of money. Farmers themselves will be in a position to contribute towards the issues of drought in terms of these insurances. And government or farmers won't wait until the animals or the crop have failed. immediately when you see a certain level of that rain is not coming, the insurance will come in and support the farmer. We really seem serious that this needs to be implemented by our country. The use of established border banks for supporting farmers to establish the border banks, I think I must thank the Eastern Cape. I'm not sure about other provinces. I've heard farmers in Alfred Nzo and other districts to say that they are given some seeds, erasograsses and buffalo grass to plant so that they can have fodder banks for the next year. If that program can be extended to most of the provinces, that would really assist a lot. Also, Northwest Province, I think I must thank that province, because one of the biggest problems in Northwest is water. Water. Drought or no drought. And I understand government is putting a lot of effort to put more boreholes in the Northwest Province. I think we do appreciate that, but we need it. Madam Chair, this last one, the introduction of an electronic farmer register and transaction card, can assist in delivering assistance to farmers during disasters and drought period. If I can read to you the report that I got from KZN and Limpopo, you will agree with me that we need to have this type of support in terms of this drought. Let me read what I received from KwaZulu-Natal regarding the drought. There is a need to improve on implementation and distribution of whatever relief program made available by government. People who are not farmers end up benefiting at our expense because of corrupt government officials. Members of the Portfolio Committee, this is not coming from me, it's coming from a farmer in KwaZulu-Natal. Most farmers were made to provide details and sign registers under the pretext that they need to be documented in order to get relief. That end up not materializing. The very same registers are used as proof by corrupt government officials that farmers did not get relief. Other big businesses were part of this corruption in KwaZulu-Natal. There is a need for government to improve on monitoring and implementation. This will help to measure impact of such programs. Audit is also important on registers of documents submitted as proof of beneficiaries in order to discourage corruption. This will also assist government to achieve its goal on documenting farmers and come up with farmer register. That is why farmers always make a lot of emphasis on this farmer register. Because if we do have a register, we will know who have been, who received and who did not receive. But currently, it's such a free-for-all. And this farmer who wrote this is true, because many officials are taking this drought relief assistance for their friends and for themselves. And some, not only the officers, even us, as non-farmers in the villages, we go and chew whereas we don't have even a cat, and we take that relief and sell it to neighbors or other people. Sugar farmers got fertilizer in KwaZulu-Natal, though a bit late. However, monitoring and evaluation proved useful. A farmer needs to be involved in such initiative by rural development and so on. That was KwaZulu-Natal. Also to indicate the way that our programs are not consistent in terms of provinces. You find that this province is doing this, another province is doing this. This report is coming from Limpopo. The government initially supported farmers with 3 million for fodder from provincial coffer, which was a drop in the ocean, and later an amount of just over 50 million was received from fodder and water provision for livestock only, and farmers complained about receiving far less than expected. The last application of 170 million has not yet been released to province to address both livestock and horticulture and crops. Just last week, the provincial government said they will release 10 million to help on drought, judging by the concerns raised by farmers. This amount is immaterial, I'm sure you wanted to say it's not enough to help the farmers. Government framework does not cover horticulture and grain support in case of drought. So far, no commercial livestock farmer has received support from DAP, support what farmers are always complaining about. When you must understand, when we talk about smallholder farmers in South Africa, we are talking both the subsistence farmers who are in rural setup and also the farmers who are, whom we call them, the first generation commercial farmers who have just received funds from under the land reform program. And then government is always focusing on those subsistence farmers in the villages. And these people who also don't have any support, who cannot go to the bank for support, they are also complaining that they are not assisted. I think the government must do something